Blues Festivals. But let me go Facebook Live when I want to start talking now to Scott and Vince about this amazing blues festival, because doing something like this, gosh, it's a lot of work putting it all together. And when you're bringing someone like Chris Duarte, who you met here before and you've played with before, and you say, hey, let's do this, right? I mean, when you get to that point, there's, you're putting yourself on the line, right? I mean, you gotta prove yourself in a way, and at the same time, you have to be authentic. So it's an interesting combination of doing what you can do best, and at the same time, pushing the limits. So how, when you get into that state, Vince, where do you go with it? Where do you go in your mindset to get something like that together?
You're talking about like performing in general?
No, but someone like Chris Duarte and you doing the blues together.
Oh, I mean, it's a good question.
Chris and Vince go way back.
I was actually just thinking about it. I've known Chris since I was 17, so about 20 years now.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought you met him here when he came here.
No, well, I brought him here.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how
this.
Cool.
This will be the third time he's that been Vince here. Has brought Chris here.
Yeah.
I did not know that yes. part of the puzzle. Yeah. I thought you met him and played with him when he was here.
No. Well, I met Chris first as a fan. I actually moved to Austin when I was a kid, a teenager. I was 18 to go and be able to watch him play at different places. So I kind of, that's how I met Chris, was just going to watch his shows. And then one day I happened to become a roadie and help him move some gear into Antone's, and he let me hang out.
Antone's.
And I was a huge fan. And yeah, so no, I've known Chris a long time. So, you know, this is...
Going back to the Austin roots.
Yeah, that's why I went there.
So what impressed you when you met him in Austin and saw him playing back then?
Well, the first time I saw him play was here. And that was at the Rhythm and Blues Festival that also had mm-hmm. Eric Johnson. And there was someone else there. I can't remember who it is right now, though. But anyway, Chris was opening the show. This was my first gig. I was 16. I was playing with the Voodoo Sons nice. With Nils. And Nils invited me to come play
Nils
with
them. Nils Rosenblatt.
That's Jerry Byers was in the band.
Jerry Byers.
And Anastasia.
Yeah, this was pre-Anastasia.
Pre-Anastasia,
so this was,
interesting.
Mike Carroll.
Okay, oh, wow.
Mike Carroll was singing. Yeah, so.
Mike's good fun.
Yeah, it was fun. And so... happened to open the show with them. It was my first show. And then afterwards, I got to go watch the show inside. So, unfortunately, I was too young to ever have seen Stevie Ray Vaughan play live. But, I'm a huge fan. So, when I walked into the I'll never forget it. I walked into the Mac, go into the, you know, the big double doors open. I just get blasted by this gigantic wave of guitar. Just bang, right in my face. And immediately, my first thought was like, that sounds like Stevie Ray Vaughan. That's Stevie. That's something in that, whatever that is, it's, and I look in, I come around the corner, and there's this dude wearing overalls, no shirt underneath, long ponytail, and he's just murdering this Stratocaster. And I'm like, wow, I think that's the closest thing I'm ever going to get to seeing Stevie Ray Vaughan play. And from that moment, walking in those doors, I was a fan.
Wow.
And I was like, I have to go to Austin, I have to find Chris, and I have to watch him play, and I have to go and see his shows live and learn more about that. So that's what... That was how that journey of meeting Chris started, was I started as a fan, you know, huge fan. So.
When Chris emerged on the Texas scene, he was considered the next coming of Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yeah.
The style was there.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, for that kind of vibe, it's a hard role to play, because Stevie Ray Vaughan paid his dues, but, you know, he had a hard road.
Right.
He had a hard road. I mean, you know, and I know what he had to go through, right?
Right.
And that's part of the whole scene, of course, of music and
it's called the blues.
But when you think of, as he mentions, the evolving state of the blues, and let's bring in the rock and blues and the evolving state of the blues, what you're basically doing is doing the same thing you were doing with Kanekoa, opening up the door beyond the definition of what a typical style and group would be, right?
Yeah, well, what actually attracted me to Chris's playing initially not only was the attitude and the tone, the Texas thing, but he was amazing at combining the elements of heavy jazz into it. And as I got to know him more, his influences are really more like Charlie Parker. They're like John Coltrane. They're like Miles Davis. He's really more of a heavy jazz aficionado.
Interesting.
So his being able to mix that world with mixed tightly with the traditional Texas tone and attitude and phrasing, that's what I would say is an evolution that I kind of like a Robin Ford or something like that.
I was just, you know, you're psychic. I literally, that was my next question. How did you know? And I got to meet Robin Ford when he was jamming in Los Angeles doing a recording of one of the greats like Muddy Waters.
Yeah.
And he got in a fight with him and he walked out with him. I was there when he got in a fight and walked out because there was a battle, actually a word verbal thing about just that.
Whoa.
Honest to God. And Robin Ford was, I loved his music.
He's amazing.
I love his music. Yeah, he's amazing.
And Chris in the same way. That's the evolution they've made, I believe,
right,
to the blues, is bringing jazz elements in and blending them smoothly.
You know, like Carlos Santana?
Carlos Santana, yeah.
And the Latin and the blues.
But not so much heavy in the bebop world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The things that Robin and Chris play come really heavy from bebop horn lines.
I would not have guessed the bebop thing.
Totally.
That one, I'm going, where's the bebop in that? Wait a second, where's the bebop in
totally.
That?
Totally. When you listen to Chris play live, you'll hear things like that, and you go, oh, and tweaks the ear a little bit.
There's a lot of, like, imitation that happens in music where people want to play and sound exactly like somebody else, and there, you know, Chris is obviously an example of that, and Vince is obviously an example of that as well, because you might think his influences are just in the blues and they're absolutely not, you know. Mm-hmm. So it is that evolution, you know, of true evolution of creating your own sound.
Well, then I have to go back to what makes you want to break down the boundaries of the limitations of the definitions of what might be this and that.
It just seems to me especially these days with so much kind of what a lot of people would call, I guess, cookie cutter music that's mass produced, things that are individually different are starting to get more attention again.
Mm.
Things that are going against the grain of, you know, popular music, the 7 or 8 acts you might hear on commercial radio every day in rotation over and over again, anything outside of the normal of that is starting to pique interest. So the only way you get to those kinds of outside of the boundaries is to
try to progress them. You're talking to someone who was raised on robbery. I mean, I only did no limitation music in radio when I started. That's where it all began.
Exactly.
And it is still alive in some places. It's not easy. But
you might not want to look at it like breaking down the barriers of popular music. It's more of like just doing your own thing with what you love, what feels good that you're playing, and that actually, over time, it will become popular music.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Willie K. You know, I mean, Willie K. Everyone wanted Willie K. to be Willie K. And he didn't want that. He knew very well what he wanted to do, and it was not just the traditional. And when he came out with his blues, and then the blues festival, people at first didn't. You were very good friends, Scott, with Willie,
right?
And you saw what happened when he decided, I want to do a blues album. I like the blues, right?
Right.
And you saw how that evolved, right?
You know, that's been a big part of him forever. I mean, the festival, putting on the festival was one thing. That was definitely something he wanted to do. But, I mean, he always had the blues in him. Probably coming from a similar place, from like a Stevie Ray Vaughan and
Hendrix.
Actually, I know it was a Stevie Ray Vaughan really changed his life.
Really?
He had told me that more so probably than a Hendrix. And I believe it was from the Aloha Stadium show. Like he had told
right.
me, seeing
really?
Him there play live was
right.
something that changed his life.
Willie was at that show?
He was at that show.
Oh, wow.
But actually going back to the festival stuff, so, you know, Vince and me have been working together a long time, and we've actually put on some very large events that were, you know, they were Vince's blues band, but they were still wrapped around basically the concept of doing a blues festival. And I can recall, like, the last one at Mulligan's that we did,
right.
which was a pretty big show. It was a packed house. Actually, Willie was up there that night even too,
oh, wow.
as well.
Yeah.
But packed house. And if I can talk about this current rendition, you know, we started talking about this when Vince launched his last album, his blues album.
Almost exactly
and,
a year ago.
You know, COVID kind of screwed it all up, and Vince was actually going to go out on tour with Chris Duarte. And we were like, okay, let's do an event. Let's do a festival. Let's create this. Let's kind of be, you know, you might look at it like the legacy of what Willie was starting to do, which was against the grain here for sure. But it's also something that I think, you know, Vince has inside of him with his musical friends as well. Like, and we had talked about people like Tommy Castro and definitely Chris Duarte, you know, and some of these people getting them out here to do something like this once a year.
Definitely.
So
hopefully this is something
that we're going to keep going at. And, you know, once a year, And it's probably the one time a year that you're going to get to see Vince's blues band play, too. So come out to the show.
Let people know if they're just tuning in. We're talking with the amazing Vince Esquire and Scott Johnson about a wonderful show that's going to be happening this Saturday at Gilligan's. It's going to be special. It's actually a blues festival, the first annual. And it's not just Vince, but the great Chris Duarte and Justin Morris and Matt Delamo. Yeah. And also a woman I've got to find out more about, Danielle Alana Trio. And Cheryl Ray Mullen says hi.
Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Cheryl.
And so, Kathy and
so others. Danielle's got a power trio, and her bass player is Uncle Don Lopez. Going back to Willie again and playing that kind of music, and even Vince, you know. So, and then Josh Greenbaum, Vince's drummer, is drumming for her.
Uh-huh.
This is going to be a fierce band. Yeah. Look out for Danielle that
Apparently
night.
They had a good rehearsal last night. Yeah. So from what I've heard.
And Danielle is an absolute shredder on the guitar.
Oh,
and
really?
Plays multi-genres as well as
and
she
her
rocks.
Vocals, her singing is, her
fantastic.
Vocals are her.
I guess the best place to get tickets is VinceEsquire.com.
That works.
That works.
Yeah, that works. And we have some music. I mean, I think I could try to define Chris for about 5 or 10 minutes. But you know, and I know that a little bit of music that's undefined actually speaks louder than words. And I'm going to close out my Facebook page here because, you know what? Because you can't play music that can be heard on Facebook when you're doing it on the radio. But we are on the radio, so I will post this later. And let's listen to, let's see, My Way Down. I love this. Don't you love My Way Down? Can't go wrong with My Way Down. My Way Down.
Great track.
Sing good too.
He's a great singer. I always try to like encourage him to sing. You know? I'm like, dude, sing well.
I mean, that's great. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, he's
I mean, that's
guy.
Amazing. I mean, that's not only great playing, and it's great singing, and it's the feeling, which is what blues is all about, the feeling. So you can feel that. You know, and this came out, we were trying to figure out the date, but this is one of his early recordings. My Way Down was one that kind of broke through. And I know I played it on the radio, and it was like blowing everyone's mind, right? It was like, wow. Really, you know? So, did you get to see him play that before when you got to see him in concert and when you You jammed with him, Steve? Vince?
I believe. I mean, he plays it at every show. He'll probably play it on Saturday.
There you go.
But when I did do a tour with him back in 2013 or something like that. Yeah, he played it every night. So I've gotten to see him play that song quite a few times.
Mm-hmm. He's touring a lot still? Is he back at it now that
all
he's...
all he does.
Hardcore.
Yeah, he's a road dog, man. I think his last band just hit like 300,000 miles on it. And it's like second transmission, you know? Yeah, that dude's always touring constantly. Yeah, that's what he does.
And so when did you go out with him again?
I think I want to say it was like 2013. It was a while ago.
And you went, where'd you go with him on tour?
Oh, man, let's see. We went to Ohio. We went to Michigan. We went to New Jersey. We went to... I'm sure there's a few other places I'm not thinking of, but we're kind of up in that area, you know, the Midwest, and then kind of going east.
What kind of people did you see come out? People that just love the blues? People?
He's got fans everywhere. He's got fans, you know, 30-year-old fans that'll come out.
The more you hit the road,
know, yeah, he just has a developed fan base that just go to all the shows. It was amazing, like people that have been coming to see him play at those venues for like 20 years.
What did you learn from him?
What I learned a lot from Chris on the road is being professional, you know, showing up on time. Being good to the sound people. He's always really nice to everybody.
Got to take care of the sound people.
Yeah,
you do indeed.
Big shout out to Bruce at Village Audio.
Yes. He's
running sound on Saturday.
Exactly. Yeah. So
you were good on that one. Getting, you got Bruce from Village Audio.
There you go. Right on.
Sidekick here.
Totally. Yeah. So that was a big part of, away from the technical stuff and the playing and all that, but it was just how to tour, you know, how to be on the road. Yeah.
And musically, what did you learn from him?
Oh, a lot. How to never really play the same song twice.
Whoa.
He's great at that.
Wow. And
like all
that's
the times
biggie.
That I've seen him play, like My Way Down, it's different every single time.
Wow.
Whether it's something in the arrangement he changes on the fly.
It's important.
Yeah, it's, you know, his band, and he always has great musicians in his band that are able to follow him really well.
You know, that's interesting, because that always is what has impressed me about jazz.
Yep.
Is how you can improvise and switch it up, and it usually is never the same, you know, unless you're that, whatever, yep, recording it or something. But you don't always see that. In a lot of shows you go to, you see exactly the same thing. Yeah. And that kind of bothers me. I think that sometimes these big, big stadium shows demand that because they've got such things that are programmed out that have to go a certain way, and you know,
pyrotechnics and
I mean, it doesn't allow you to break the boundaries of what you'd planned, right? So that's what I love about going to clubs and seeing this kind of vibe happening, right? Because, you know, anything can happen, you can do anything, no one's making the rules for you on this, right, except you.
I don't even have a set list for my band for the show yet.
Seriously.
Set list?
Yeah, we have one rehearsal the night before the show. And then we're just going to get up there and do it.
Wow. You know, now that does say something, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know, it's just going to be fun.
Yeah.
This is really the only time this whole year I'm going to be able to play guitar with our kind of co-schedule. But so, you know, I really just want to use it as a time to go up there and play guitar and have fun playing guitar and not stress about putting on an amazing, precise, perfect show or whatever, but
gotta
just go
pull
have
the stress
fun
out
you know?
Of it, which is a great attitude.
Exactly.
You know? So people see you more maybe in the Kane Koa role than they see you in the blues.
Oh, by far. Yeah.
So
by far
do they
this
hear this kind of thing? This is Vince.
Oh, we'll probably play this. Yeah.
This is Vince doing it.
The mayor cover.
So this album was co-produced by Chris Duarte.
Was it?
Yeah, he did four of the songs. Yeah. He played on.
Fantastic version. I can say so myself, better than the original.
Thank you.
it's Good Love Is On The Way. Now, you did this one how long ago?
2020 we recorded that, yeah.
So are you going to do a set of your own, and then Chris do a set of your own, and then a set together? How do you know? I mean, no, you said you didn't have anything planned.
Honestly, I think, yeah, I'm probably going to do an hour set just as the four piece, and then Chris will come up, and he's got four or five songs, and then I'm going to try to rally everybody, and we're all going to jam together at the end, get Justin, whoever's there, whoever's left at the end, and
that takes some engine. That's a good thing. You got a good sound, man. He's like, oh, my God, a mic on this one, mic on that one.
Yeah. So if you're listening, Bruce, you don't know that.
No, you don't know. Just tell everybody to keep their stuff where it is and don't move it.
So do you have a set house band that you have to do behind everyone, or do you have to change sets every what do you have the setup like?
Well, thankfully, Danielle and I have the same drummer.
Good.
So that's easy.
That's the big part.
Yeah. And then, but it's just a quick switch of bass players. And then I think Kanoa's doing, is he trio?
I have no idea.
Yeah. No, I think he might show up as a trio.
The most versatile player on this island, and we're just letting him, you know, he's yeah. It'll be in the rock and blues. It should be interesting. Yep. Last time Kanoa played at Willie's event with Big John Acapo, brother brought out this digital guitar or whatever that
MIDI,
was, man.
MIDI, yeah.
It was a MIDI guitar, and yep. It was mind-blowing.
Yeah, so that'll be fun.
Mind-blowing.
What kind of guitar? Digital MIDI guitar?
It's a MIDI guitar that he runs through a processor and can make it sound like anything.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Anything. Yeah,
I
anything.
Have not. That's got to be interesting. I've never seen one like that.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
That is. It's pretty amazing. So this is always fun, and you know, and at the same time, let's just bring Scott into the mix and how this has happened. Scott has been involved in the music scene for 35 years here. Was it 35?
I'm not that old, Cindy.
I thought you were 35. I know it's been a long time.
25.
25 years. and you know, now you've kind of stepped up into another role as a manager. This started about, what, seven, eight months ago?
This started with Vince.
Yeah. Almost a year ago.
Eating tacos. Tuesday, about 1 year, might be a little over a year ago.
Yep.
That we just, you know, we got together and we threw some ideas out and decided we should be working together. And from there, it kind of has blown up into something pretty amazing. And I'm grateful, actually, because I do believe this is something I should be doing, and I'm good at it.
Well, you know, and what's been great is you've been able to work with Vince and others, but Vince especially on the road and going to some. There's a lot of work setting up tours and yes. Going on the road. And, you know, I mean,
yes.
You got it. You know, we talk.
No, it's living the dream. It's the rock and roll dream. There's nothing negative about it. The whole aspect of setting a show up or loading up a van and going from town to town, it's amazing, and I'm just fortunate I can do it.
You're going to be going back on the road again come fall.
Back on the road October 14th we fly out. Yeah, Kanikoa is on a mission.
A half, yeah,
there's some big things happening.
Are you going to miss Rocky Horror Show?
You know, we're going to be back for a quick little stint, okay. And then we're back out again. So we kind of have a two-part tour going on.
I'm just
on, which
asking because
nice.
You're working with Eric Gilliam too, and Eric's going to do a great fundraiser for the EL Theater in a few weeks there of
correct.
Rocky Horror there, which
we're
is going to
go.
Be mind blowing.
We'll be yeah. there one. We'll be there one of the nights for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be show stopping time when you get that together, you know, and that's going to be awesome. And you're also working with Amy.
Yes. Yeah. Amy's amazing, and Amy's intertwined with everything too. It's kind of funny because I feel like we're working with one big family.
Everybody's related.
And I honestly think Vince is some long lost nephew or cousin of this family, because we discovered that Kaulana Kanikoa is Amy Hanaili'i and Eric Gilliam's cousin, which means he's John Cruise's cousin, Lapaka Kolan's cousin.
Wow.
They're all related.
Go down the
related.
List. So
it all worked out.
But it's great. And,
that was
and,
the genealogy of Amy coming out that realized all that? Because she's really into genealogy.
Yeah.
Her cousin, Kumu Maika, who they're going to Paris with. It's him and Kaulana.
Oh, is that
figured
it?
It out, yeah. But back to me. I'm really grateful, and it's come full circle. And here we are a year later, and we're finally able to put the event on that we had talked about from day one.
Yeah, we've been planning
and to keep this going, you know. Hopefully... We, you know, this was complete DIY, and we pretty much did everything ourselves with no sponsors or any sort of input.
That's I have to applaud you on that. I mean, truthfully, going in the vein of the indie and with your own independent label, I believe, as well, right? This is an independent label.
We're working on that.
You're working on that?
Yeah, that's coming to fruition. But basically, yeah.
We've done this before, though, you know. But and I'll shout out Brian up at Gilligan's as well, who's been very supportive of making this happen as well, opening the doors of his venue for us to use. And
but how many people can you fit in there?
Oh, I don't.
300?
Yeah, 300. Oh, that's good. 300 would be a
packed place.
That's good. Yeah.
It wouldn't be too crazy, but 300 would be a good number. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I didn't know it was that large. Yeah, I know.
Killer view.
Some of the other venues have been smaller than that, of course, you know. Yeah. But yeah, so this is very different. You were at Mark Elman's on Sunday with Anthony Fluke.
Right.
And that was about 100 people.
100 people. Right?
Much more intimate, you know. And you've been doing a lot with Kanekoa, of course, you know, and doing that gig. But this is like just taking it to a whole different level, the other side of you, which just really both. All sides of you once you do want to go. It's like, okay, this is my blues, and this is my kind of co-side, and this right. is, and
you know what? This is Vince.
They're
all interrelated, and there's more to it even as well as being a producer and an engineer and being a great guitar player, being a great. I mean, we make jokes. If it's got strings on it, Vince can play it. You know,
mm-hmm. figure it out.
Play it really well. And I was going to bring up, I think you had your headphones on, but Vince is actually producing Danielle Alana's latest album.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
and it's
and
her
I
first album.
Together, yeah.
And she's been on the scene a long time. I mean, a really long time.
Oh, fun.
And the album is absolutely phenomenal. I've heard a couple tracks, and it's going to be one of those ones that, I mean, everybody's going to go, wow, what is this? Like, including especially the radio people. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal album.
Would you call it a blues album? Or would you want to call
it
anything?
It's got a little bit of, she's doing all kinds of stuff. It's got a little bit of reggae. The album's going to be called Every Part of Me, which is the name of one of her songs. So it's a little bit of everything that she does.
Are you doing it in your studio?
Yep.
Oh, good.
We're doing it
in
our studio, doing all the production and mixing and mastering and, all that. So.
And the other side of Vince is he's an award-winning engineer, whatever award-winning means.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And he's a producer, and he's done a lot of things. He's won Hoku's, you know, and in many categories in hip hop and in other areas of music as well. He was the recording engineer on Kanekoa's latest album, which has been
that's a great
well
album.
Reviewed and
respected.
Oh, it's an amazing album. Absolutely, it's been submitted for a Grammy.
It has been
submitted to the Grammy.
It's being submitted at the moment.
Yes, as we get down
our producer Steve Berlin from Los Lobos.
Last couple of days.
You want to hear a good story?
Yes.
So Sunday night. The guys are rolling through their version of Peace Frog by the Doors, right?
Uh-huh.
So cue Peace Frog. And Riders on the Storm, and Mark films it, and he sends it off to his friend John, right, who happens to be John Densmore of the Doors.
Uh-huh.
And John Densmore sends an email back, and it says, wow. You know, and he quoted the lyrics from Peace Frog that Cal Lana, you know, inserted Lahaina, what blood fills the streets of the town of Lahaina, something like that, and said, amazing rendition of our music.
That's nice.
John Densmore from the Doors.
That's
cool.
Nice. Yeah, that's a real nice.
When you get a really good, you get a good endorsement from the band on their song that you do, that you cover, it's always a good thing.
Right. Absolutely. Anyways, absolutely.
That was
fun. And I hope it does. We were talking about you maybe starting to record some things that happen up there because you played up there at Mark's place and he's going to be doing this. And I love the fact that he's supporting good music up there. And he knows his music, of course, too. He's been around it a long time. So that's also exciting because you do have that element. It helps to know the engineering side of it when you're doing this. It makes a whole difference because you understand the difference. It's one thing to have it in your head, and it's another thing to get it out. It's another thing to record it, and it's another thing to perform it. I mean, so that's really cool that you've got all those elements that you're going to be doing. And people should get tickets. I think the best way is Vince Esquire, right? Your site to get tickets?
VinceEsquire.com.
Yep.
Aloha.ticketleap.com.
Oh, I didn't know about
AlohaGrowers.com. There's tickets.
Oh, you got it there.
And all of those websites have tickets for sale.
And there's information about what's going on with it as well. I mean, it's a full-on thing. And I guess, I don't know, I guess the whole place is they're going to do barbecue out
there's
there
gonna
as well?
There's going to be a very large outdoor barbecue, and they're going to be slinging barbecue all day, which we're really stoked about. And music, you know, from 5 to 10:30, there's going to be nonstop music. It's going to be a great day. And that was, you know, another thing that we had talked about was not just having one or two bands, but like try to stretch this out and bring in a bunch of our friends that we know are great players.
Well, you know what's great about that? I mean, it gives them a chance to experience what you experienced when you first saw Chris Duarte and got inspired, right? And then they can, as they develop their roots with it, you know, can say, hey, I got to play with Chris Duarte and I got to play with,
Well, that's what I was telling Scott and I was telling Don earlier. I'm going to have fun doing this, but I'm really doing it for the other artists to have a platform, especially Danielle, because I really want her to use this as a springboard for a bunch of people to see her at once, and then she can keep going from there. You know what I mean? So for me, that's really more what this is about. You know, it's getting the community out there more.
Well, I think it's fantastic.
And unbeknownst to Vince, that was a similar attitude that Willie had. It wasn't about him playing. It was about bringing a lot of new bands in and bringing some eclectic bands that somebody might go like, wow, Canoa's not a blues player or a rock player. And it's like,
yeah, he is.
Actually, he is. You know, so it's about finding those gems here. And we have a lot of them, you know, and it's a weird music scene here. So it's hard to get out and play shows, you know, instead of being background music at restaurants. Right. So this is all about the music.
Yeah, it is. It's very interesting here because, you know, you got a whole mix of a lot of interesting things, being in engineering, and you know how important the mix is. But the mix is at the same time, and I 100% support you not being limited by the definition of what you're doing, you know. It's easier sometimes commercially.
And that being said, you know, Ko'oi too, Cindy, like we're grateful that you play local bands' albums. And that's really, really important. And that was a big fight of ours when we started these projects of like getting our music on the radio because
that's not
easy
roots.
To do a lot of places.
It's my fight constantly too.
Right.
Because it's a lot easier to do the hits because it reaches more people and more people go, I don't know that song. Yeah, but if you listen, you might really like that song.
Right.
And if you like that song, you might get turned on to a song that you might really love, you know, that isn't... I mean, don't get me started.
We have visitors that come here. And
I know right where you're heading. I know right where you're going.
They discover these bands at venues, but like, hearing local bands on the radio is very important. You know,
well, I've got my next guest on the line, but it's great seeing both of you.
All right, Cindy.
Yeah,
thank
have
you
a
so
great
much.
Gig
yes,
on
thank you.
Gilligan's.
Saturday.
Yes, absolutely.